Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, Feliz Cinco de Mayo, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Sort of.
No?
In order to celebrate, we're going to get a little culture in us. We need it.
Plus, Apple's gone on a medtech hiring spree, a new Google Drive for iPad, and the return of skeuomorphs.
All that and the best food you've never made on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Prosper.com. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace which connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit Prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Apple or Android device is worth at Gazelle.com. I need a new tagline.
That was fun.
I was thinking of.
I felt like you were going to go somewhere.
iPad Today.
Here it is.
Let's get ready to iPad.
We got two iPads, and there's two of us. And that's all you need. Well, there's Brian, too.
Brian back there. He probably has an iPad or two back there as well.
Pushing buttons. Doing stuff.
Sarah Lane, Leo Laporte. There he is. He pushed the wrong button again.
Hey, Ryan. Sitting in the dark.
This is the show where we show you all sorts of cool, neat, and wonderful things you could do with your iPad-alicious.
It's true. It's true. And like we do in the beginning of every show, which we have been doing for almost 4 years now. Almost 4 years the show has been on the air.
It hardly seems possible.
You got a real sour expression when I said that. Like, oh, God, 4 years.
I didn't think it'll last 4 weeks.
It ended up being a show that a lot of people seem to really enjoy.
It's one of our most popular shows.
Thank gosh for all of you, because I didn't know what I was doing.
You know what you're doing. That's the problem.
Right.
You know exactly what you're doing.
Right. Yes. The idea is to produce something that people want, and then nobody can ever get rid of me.
What a novel idea. And why would anyone ever want to get rid of you?
Exactly.
You're not like a cat.
What? What?
What?
What?
I just said that to rile you up.
You know, my cats are speaking a little Espanol today because...
Well, it's Cinco de Mayo.
It's Cinco de Mayo. You might be watching the show after the 5th of May, so it will not be Cinco de Mayo any longer. But as we record the show at noon-ish, actually more like 1 p.m. Pacific time this Monday, it is Cinco de Mayo. And I have to say, Leo, that I loosely understand that Cinco de Mayo has to do with, you know, the Mexican independence and cultural...
It's the day they wiped out Davy Crockett and everybody inside the Alamo.
And now we all celebrate it.
It's Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah.
And it's a one...
See? Felines nationwide are festive...
All I'm saying is those of you who listen on audio, I can't decide whether you have an advantage right now or a disadvantage. There is a... Cat in a poncho with a sombrero.
That's right. And he looks like Wilford Brimley.
So
which
that's
many
really
cats
all you
do.
Need to know.
It's a thing. It's a thing with cats and Wilford Brimley. If you know who that is, oatmeal commercials.
To celebrate Cinco de Mayo. At first, when you said that, I thought, oh, great, we're going to do tequila recipes. But no, we decided not to do that. Although I see you are having a lovely Dos Equis beer.
Not right. I'm having a sparkling seltzer water.
Why even bother? Why even bother having that in a can?
I like fizz.
Okay.
I like the fizz. Right. It's water, but more fun.
Okay.
It's water plus.
Got it.
Yeah. Hey, if we say Cinco de Mayo, how do we loosely
now
base
I'm
some...
I'm told what? It is not Mexican Independence Day. That's in September. It is celebrating the victory by the Mexican army over France.
That's sort of
in
an independence.
1862.
They kept themselves from being enslaved by the French.
I don't think the French were there to enslave them. Maybe they wanted to sell them some wine or something. I don't know.
They were like, get out of here.
You don't think of the French as people would like come to a country and say, okay, this is it. It's ours now. It's more like, perhaps you would like a little vino.
Would you like a colony?
Now, We're going to do language.
You know, language and culture.
And culture.
Yeah. It's sort of, it's like, how do you base a theme, which we usually do off the top of the show, around Cinco de Mayo? And I thought, well, it's a little, you know, I don't know.
But I love Mexican culture.
Not that
culture.
Many Cinco de... Well, please show us some Mexican culture
I
apps.
Love I love it.
I just didn't want it to be so specific that we didn't have enough to talk about.
What, I don't happen to have any Mexican culture apps right to hand.
That's what I was afraid of.
But I do love Mexican culture. It's one of my favorite. If you're in California,
yeah,
it's very natural to go to Mexico for vacation, to spend time there. And, of course, California has a lot of Hispanic residents, most from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And so we feel a natural affinity to Mexico.
I Absolutely. Think.
Even the name California is Spanish in origin. So my daughter just got back from 2 months in Guanajuato.
Where's that?
Guanajuato. Guanajuato. It's near San Miguel de Allende. That's all I know.
Okay.
Which
Sounds
is another
good.
Place I don't know where it is.
Sounds
but.
Great. I love Mexico.
I do, too. Do you like going there?
You know, I haven't been to Mexico in a few years. The last time I went was, gosh, I mean, almost 10 years ago
Well,
now.
It's time to
but,
go.
But it's there are some really lovely places in Mexico. I don't want to just... blanket statement and say it's great.
Oaxaca. I love the state of Oaxaca. We used to go to Puerto Escondido. There's a beautiful place you can go. The surf is... Sayulitas Beach has a lush surf that anybody could surf on. You'd be up on a board in a moment.
Yeah.
And the best thing is you can sit on the beach. They'll bring you margaritas and ceviche, and you never have to get up. Fish tacos, you never have to get up.
That's all I really want.
That's what I want.
That's
a perfect vacation.
Let's be honest. Fish tacos and a little tequila-based drink... I'm not going to complain if I can just have that at all times.
Yeah.
Pizza would be nice, though. That's
they
a whole
pizza.
Other culture. Yeah, you know. So I thought that we would start with an app that we may have discussed on this show. I don't think it was ever anybody's app cap, and that's Khan Academy. Khan Academy is an interesting... Hey, why'd you just...
They have an app?
They do. And it seems to be crashing. Let's see. What's going on with you, Khan? Let me open it again.
This is going to be a great show, folks.
I was just playing with it this morning. So it's. I think it's just... Yeah.
Maybe you have to reboot your machine or
something. I just had to... I had to reboot the app. What's nice about Khan Academy is this is an app that is designed to help you learn a bunch of stuff. And a lot of this is, you know, we're talking about history and culture. That would be kind of in the humanities section. But there's math and science and economics and all sorts of kind of like how to... It's you could think of it as kind of learning on your own time, at your own speed, watching a variety of videos that have been put together. Many of them have the subtitles sort of like closed captioning so you can jump around. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, though. But I went into the humanities section and I thought, hey, history, art history, American civics, cool. Let's go into the history section. And then, you know, again, this is not Mexican history specifically, but this is just kind of like, what about Crash Course World History? Okay, that's kind of interesting. And then I go and say, when people do great and really terrible things. Oh, like the Renaissance. Renaissance was the thing. So then I've kind of drilled down, and now I can watch a variety of videos, like the Seven Years' War. How much do you know about that?
How long did it last?
Yeah. And other questions. I can see now that this is about a, you know, not quite 12-minute video. And they've got...
Wow.
Yeah,
That's cool. They've gotten a little dressier. Solomon's gotten a little fancier.
They're going to talk about war. Ah, explosions everywhere.
So traditionally, historians are pretty keen on war.
So now, this is aimed at a high school level.
Yes.
And it's could be a supplement to your high school. But I think for anybody, high school or not, this is a great way to learn. And the history stuff seems to be more new. I mean, it was originally mostly math and sciences.
Exactly.
And I love it that they've expanded to this.
I do, too. And, yeah, I mean, some of this is sort of designed to be, like, fun learning.
Nothing wrong with that.
But, honestly, there's a lot about history.
Our kids are having too much fun
exactly.
learning.
Right, yeah. Just bring it down a notch, Khan Academy. You know, when I was in high school at that level, history was, like, the thing I hated most in life. I just wasn't interested in history until I was a little too old to be like learning it. You know, now I wish I would have majored in history.
So this isn't Solomon, of course. This is one of their other teachers. It's John, it says. I don't know who John is, but they have other teachers too, and this is great.
Yeah, exactly. The bandwidth just got a little bit strange. But yeah, you've got Atlantic slave trade, Columbian exchange, the Renaissance, Spanish Empire.
All topics that people need to learn.
Yeah, and now sometimes there are subtitles, sometimes there aren't.
Now, these are produced by Crash Course. That's interesting. So he's done a relationship with Crash Course to put videos on his con, but it's still free, right?
Yeah, it's completely free.
I love that.
There are certain videos that are available offline. You can download the videos and watch them later. You've got some management options, but in general, this is just kind of a fun crash course in a variety of historical topics that some of the stuff I know a lot about, but most of it I didn't. I know what the Silk Road was, but I could learn a little bit more about ancient trade. I think that sounds delightful. So anyway, this is just a nice app to have. There he is again. He's kind of does his thing.
He's one of the Vlog Brothers.
Oh, the Vlog Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't actually know them.
Me neither.
Alexander the Great, Chinese history, Confucius, and so on and so on. So that's Khan Academy, and again, it's free. The app is designed very nicely, and yeah, if you're interested at all, and you can airplay the stuff to your Apple TV, or go full screen with the video. But if you're interested or know anybody that's in your family or friend, niece or nephew, that type of a thing that could benefit from. From history, this is a nice place to go. And like Leo mentioned, Khan Academy is very focused on a variety of math and science courses as well. In fact, the history stuff is not quite as robust, but it is in there. So it's good. It's good to have. Eighth grade math. What did we do back then? Geometry? Sounds good. Pythagorean theorem. I love that one.
I think a great thing to do for Cinco de Mayo would be to learn Spanish.
We.
Okay, that's the first thing. You've already learned your first word.
Yes.
Not we, but si. Now, I learned Spanish from reading Playboy Mexico, and I'm not going to recommend that because it is inspirational and it is available on the iPad. There's another thing, and we've talked about this before, and I really love it, called Duolingo, which is a free way to learn languages. As you can see, I'm still... on the basics. My Spanish hasn't progressed too much since the last time we talked about Duolingo. But I just feel like this is such an easy way to learn. It is free.
Mm-hmm.
The way they support themselves is kind of interesting because as you progress, eventually you'll start doing little bits of translation. And they actually crowdsource translations to charge people for crowdsourced translations. So by using the app, by learning Spanish or French or one of the other languages on Duolingo, you're actually supporting Duolingo. Isn't that cool? Select the apple. Well, that's easy enough. It's La
Manzana.
Manzana. I'm right, all right? Now, you notice I heard how to say la manzana.
Una mujer come una manzana.
Now, we've learned some of these words before. So, a woman eats
an apple.
So, they make this pretty easy. You see these, like the refrigerator magnet words at the bottom. A woman, and then I'm going to pick the words, eats, and by the way, notice and are very important. Those are the indefinite articles. We're learning that, too, and as well as some nouns. Let's see if I got that right. Ah, yes, absolutely correct. Also, I note that they have masculine and feminine nouns, unlike English. So, una mujer, una manzana.
Mm-hmm.
That's helpful. I'm learning
usted
a little...
Usted come.
Usted, the formal
you
used only
eat.
With strangers. For example, you are a boy. Usted es una niña.
¿Cómo está usted?
Yeah, okay, I got it. So, usted come, right?
Come.
You, formal, eat. Oops, I got it wrong. Let's not do drink. Let's do eat. Should I get one wrong just so you could see?
Yeah.
Because they kind of send you a slight electric shock.
They say, you're so stupid.
Oh, now watch this.
Yeah, now you can
use the microphone. Now, because it's got a microphone. La mujer come una manzana. Okay. La mujer come una manzana. And I got it right.
Nice.
Usted es un hombre.
Oh, boy. Now, we're going to type this in English. See, so you're getting reading, you're getting writing, you're getting vocabulary, you're getting grammar in a very painless way. Now, obviously, this is the same lesson. Usted es un hombre. You are a man. I haven't progressed very far, but you can, in fact, progress quite quickly through this and get...
Ella es una niña.
Uh-oh. Ella es una niña. Ella is she is, and it's una, so that's a girl. Is that right? Yes. Anyway, I love this. Duolingo free. This is a wonderful way to learn.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Duolingo because we hadn't talked about it before the show, but I use Duolingo as well for my French. Spanish I took in school, so I feel like a lot of that stuff
it's in your head. Yeah.
Yeah, but for French.
How far have you gotten? Let's see, you have your French lessons there?
Yeah, I'm still on basics, but you know, select the man.
L'homme.
Continue, select the apple.
Oh, you got an apple too. Not a manzana, it's a palm.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Je suis, I am rich.
Jesus
is what that says.
Is rich. Oh, I am rich.
Je suis riche.
Riche.
I am rich. If only that were true.
They give you nice little encouraging sentences to translate.
Yeah.
I got an apple, you got rich.
The woman is rich. I agree with you. I think that what it will do is... period. It'll kind of keep circling around every part of a sentence.
You really do learn, I think.
Yeah, because it'll say, hey, how do you say this in French? Okay, let's do a couple other things. Hey, how do you say that same word, but we're going to present it in French, and now you say it in English? So it's kind of beating it over your head a little bit, but with languages, you sort of need that to the point where you stop thinking about it.
Right.
And I think that Duolingo does this really well.
It's nice, too, on an iPad or an iPhone because you can do a little bit whenever you've got a moment.
Right.
The same way you'd do Flappy Bird. In fact, if you did this instead of Flappy Bird, as long as you did Flappy Bird, you'd be speaking Spanish in like a month or French. Or both.
Does anyone play Flappy Bird anymore?
I don't know.
Whatever happened to that guy? What was his name? Dong Nguyen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
You've got a hell of a memory.
Well.
Yeah. That'll be a trivia question in about 5 years.
The creator of Flappy Bird?
Yeah, who created Flappy Bird?
Yeah.
Dong
Nguyen. You know what? It'll be a Jeopardy question.
Exactly.
What? This... In 2014, this man...
Made $10,000 a day while living in his mother's basement.
You're right. In 2014, a Vietnamese man named Dong Nguyen made this highly addictive iPhone game.
What is Flappy Bird, Alex?
Correct. Right, he says. Right.
Right.
Good.
I'll take Flappy Birds for $400.
Alex Trebek has the best job.
It's a pretty easy job.
Well, he just pretends like he knows all the answers.
Right.
You know that Alex doesn't do anything.
He doesn't have to write them.
He just pretends
you see how hard
like
that
he,
was.
Like he just pretends like everyone at Jeopardy knows the answer. So
he
if
has
you're
that
on the show.
That attitude comes across very well. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Everybody knows it was Monet.
Yeah. And how much did you bet? Ooh. You dropped down to zero.
I'm so sorry.
Yes. You can't go into Final Jeopardy in the red, you know.
Usted.
They don't let you play.
Es un hombre.
Or they didn't used to anyway. I am not a boy.
Él es un niño. Un niño. Él es un niño. Anyway, there you go. I wish language had been this easy to learn when I was a boy.
It's fun too because there's audio. It even lets you.
I like that
practice.
You can record. Yeah, I like that you can record it.
That's very cool.
And they do. They seem to check whether you pronounced it well or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, so that's Duolingo. It's a great app. We have talked about it. Yeah, it's completely
from
free.
From Carnegie Mellon.
And it does. Is it from Carnegie Mellon? That's
yeah, originally.
We have something else from Carnegie Mellon later in the show.
We do. How exciting is that?
I do.
Yeah.
With Duolingo, let's go ahead and quit. I just wanted to make sure we mention of the courses. It's not every language, but you got Spanish, French, German, Italian, Portuguese. Looks like some other...
Oh, really? Yeah, that's new. I didn't know they had Chinese. I should practice. It'd be good. I could practice my Chinese.
Yeah.
For Cinco de Mayo.
Well, that just went into English. Oh, I see. It's English lessons if Chinese is your first language. So yeah, you've got some options. They are adding courses all the time. Portuguese, I know, wasn't part of the the launch set of languages, but it's good. You know what else is great?
What else is great?
This isn't necessarily, well, I guess you could kind of think of it as teaching you a little bit. It's not necessarily a way to learn a new language, but Google Translate is the best app.
It's all you really need.
I've got a friend who's in Israel right now, and so I thought it would be funny to, like, text him in Hebrew. And the thing is that I don't speak Hebrew. I certainly don't write Hebrew.
Right.
But it's easy enough to be like, okay, so if I'm going to start in English, and then I want to go ahead and translate to Hebrew. I'm just choosing my language here, so it's English to Hebrew. You've got a nice handy-dandy little flippy flip. If I wanted to go easily from Hebrew to English.
That's what's called a flippy flip?
And that's exactly what it is. You tap the flippy flip, and then you've got your options.
What that's called.
So if I say something like, hey, buddy, how's the motherland?
Now, it doesn't do a perfect job.
No, but like.
But it's usually good enough for a native to understand where you're going with
there
it.
There you go. And then you can actually, you know what? They don't let you listen in Hebrew for whatever reason. Some of the languages
they'll speak it to you.
Yeah,
that's handy because then you can hold it up to them and they can laugh at you.
Right, and they can say
machine talking.
We understand what you meant, but that's not really what you would say.
Oh,
here
you crazy wacky Americans
here in Tel Aviv.
Here,
but anyway,
you are with
so
your...
then I just do this. I can go ahead and say yes, translation copied.
Hold and show them.
Well, sure.
Because I don't know if you knew how to read that. If you don't speak Hebrew, it'd probably be hard
to
read.
All I'm doing is texting it to him.
Ah, okay.
So then he's like, he thinks that I'm like super smart. He's like, look at her writing Hebrew. But I didn't actually learn anything. I was just able to translate quickly and easily. Now, what's cool about Google Translate is not only is it, I mean, this is a nice universal app. It's an iPhone and an iPad app, but it works perfectly well. It's a native iPad. But you can also write. Now, I'm not going to even attempt to write Hebrew, but if I were to say...
Oh, like handwrite, like with your finger.
Yeah.
Oh, that's new. That's kind of neat. That saves you a little entry time, data entry time.
See? Hi, how are you? It understood that that's what I wrote. Now, of course, it's adding it onto... I'm not actually going to send this to
You can also speak it out loud if you want. It has a microphone.
That
so
too,
you could say,
yeah.
Hey, mofo, what's the happening?
Hey, mofo, how's Israel, dude? Hey, mofo, house.
It got that's mofo, good. But not how is Israel. That's confusing to me.
I think I was being slangy, and so
slangy.
I confused Google Translate. But anyway, I think that this is just one of the best little, you know, it's as simple as anything can be, but Google Translate is like the translator that I always go to for a variety of things. And like I said, you've got a lot of languages here that you can choose from. A lot. Like, so many. I mean, when's the last time you wanted to translate anything into Tamil? Well, it's never happened, but eventually I think that that'd be pretty fun. And look how pretty that is.
It is a beautiful language, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I don't know how much use that's going to be, but...
Well, next time I'm in Sri Lanka,
I want to
be able to make some friends and try my best.
Yes, indeed.
So there you go.
What do you do? Do you celebrate? Will you celebrate later in the day the fabulous Cinco de Mayo? Will you celebrate that?
No. I feel like Cinco de Mayo is a lot like St.
Patrick's Day.
It's amateur day for people who really don't care about Mexican independence at all.
I didn't even know that it was the French thing in 1862. I had no...
See, that's what, you know, I said at the beginning of the show. It's like I have a very loose understanding that it's Mexican. It's a source of Mexican pride. That's fine. But I didn't really know. I should probably just read the Wikipedia entry and then I would know. Did you know... Actually, this is a true story, and it's been going on for a while, at least in the U.S. I'm not sure about the rest of the world.
Yeah.
There's a lime shortage, and it is it's supposedly kind of a problem, especially on a day like today where everybody's going to be drinking margaritas.
Lots of lime juice going to be used.
There's a
gallons.
Lime shortage, and they're freaking out about the coronas. You know, you're not going to get a twist of lime in there. You know, at my favorite Vietnamese noodle soup house... You get the pho, and you get the lime and the bean curd.
Is it pronounced pho or?
It's pho.
Pho.
Pho, but I just say pho.
You can't say pho.
It's hard to
Nobody
say
Nobody will
pho.
Know what you're talking
it
about.
It also sounds a little pretentious.
Yeah.
Like
well,
I'm
know,
like,
you know why I said that? Because
you know?
Henry's pho. Teacher, Henry was telling me in Colorado, I said, oh, there's a pho shop. He said, well, Dad, it's pronounced pho. And I said, well, how did you know that?
said, my professor, I was doing an oral interpretation or something, and I used the word faux, and the professor said, oh, well, you know, it's faux. And I said, that's just a pretentious person.
Well,
don't listen to him. Pronounce it any way you want.
I mean, it's, you know, it's...
It's pho.
It is pho, but whatever.
Spelled P-H-O.
It's just, yeah. It's, you know, it's... I feel like if I was, if I just sat here and said pho, then I would, like, laugh at myself a little bit. But
and no one would know what you were talking about.
They've been giving me lemons,
there.
And I've said to them a couple times...
Oh, no, you can't have lemons in your pho.
Can I please have a lime? Two totally different tastes. And they go, too expensive.
What?
Yeah, the limes are too expensive.
Really?
Well, for this little... shop.
So
they're not going big on anything.
I will be celebrating tonight.
What are you going
to
do?
We're going to go down the street to Mi Pueblo, which is not my house, but in fact a restaurant.
It's delicious, actually.
Mi Pueblo. And we're going to have, and of course on Cinco de Mayo, they have a mariachi band. To me, Cinco de Mayo is much more about the music of Mexico than it is about the drinking of Mexico. Because you couldn't drink Mexico because it's a country.
Right. You could drink your way through it.
So, unfortunately, this app that I'm trying to show you...
Right. Are you stalling?
It's stalled, and I really want to show you. It's called Mariachi Hero.
Oh.
And you've heard of Guitar Hero?
Yes. Really?
Mariachi Hero.
Same idea?
Same idea. It's really fun. Mariachi band usually has one bass guitar, one regular guitar, and a couple of trumpets, right? And you get to be the trumpeter. Here we go, finally, in Mariachi Hero. Oh, it's sideways. Okay. Oh, now it's... Let's get this right side around. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Cinco de Mayo. You know, I like De Colores, Guadalajara...
But these aren't... Okay, so this is like...
Okay, you want to play?
Kind of.
You ready to play?
I think so.
You feel up to it?
Sure.
Okay, we'll do a quick play. We won't do the story. There's multiplayer and all of that.
La Bikina.
Let's do it easy, yes?
Si.
And what would you like to play? You can choose...
Delirio!
Delirio! We'll do easy Delirio. Get ready.
Okay.
I think this is actually kind of fun.
This is weird.
I don't like the skin there, but okay, ready? Okay, ready?
What?
Okay, ready?
Did you just hit the head with a dart?
Oh, it's like Guitar Hero for mariachi. It's free. What do you want? Get ready.
I'm not sure what I want.
Viva Zapata. Maybe I made it too easy.
I'll say. You just sit there.
I'm going to get to play any minute now. Okay.
This is clearly the easiest one.
Maybe you don't want to do easy. Okay.
There it is.
I think this says Cinco de Mayo like nothing else.
Gosh, you know, now I feel like I want to go to...
Have a tequila margarita?
Porto Alegre tonight.
Yeah, with a little bit of lime.
They're not going to have any limes.
So I'm
There's a lime shortage.
That's what I heard on iPad Today.
Right.
All right, you wanted a Cinco de Mayo app.
I think it's great, Leo.
Mariachi Hero.
I'm not sure how I feel about their faces.
They all
look a little
tired. The graphics aren't
tired.
The graphics are not great.
The graphics are not a strong suit.
But I just think it's kind of intriguing. All right, let's try hard.
Okay.
What do you say?
Yeah.
This is Mariachi's fifth stage.
Okay.
2000 to the present. Get ready now. This is a big band. We're going to play the trumpet first here. Okay, you ready? Okay, get your fingers ready.
Hey.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, golly, this
Whoa,
is hard.
That's right.
Oh.
I don't really understand how you're...
Trumpet solo!
How is what you're doing affecting the song in
it
any
is,
way?
But as with Guitar Hero, unless you know what you're doing... It's not really good, but I am making the cat dance, and that's all that matters. Ladies and gentlemen, enough of that. That's Guitar
Mariachi.
I'm sorry, Mariachi.
Hiro.
G-I-R-O.
Right. Hiro. Hiro.
Hiro.
Hiro. Like.
Who would have thought?
Because, see, the G is pronounced like an H in the...
It's pronounced Hiro.
Spanish language. Yeah. All right. Well, Mariachi Hiro. I'm saying that like Japanese. I don't know. I'm getting very confused.
We have a Japanese restaurant in town called Heroes.
Oh, like H-I-R-O.
Yeah, I don't think they'll have a mariachi band tonight, though.
Well, you know what? They're really missing out on some really fun...
I love it. Festive.
They could make spicy rolls that are...
I'm sure Andy will.
Well, Andy?
Andy, you know
Andy. I know you're watching. Why don't you take advantage of this...
Andy's our favorite sushi chef.
...of this holiday. Hey, so for the links to the apps that we mentioned, mariachi music apps, Google Translate, Duolingo, even Khan Academy, you can always go to twit.tv/IPT. That's where not only our show notes are and links to all the apps that we talk about on every show, but the show archives in general. Everything that we ever do is here.
It's too bad they don't have Vuvuzela Hiro. Because I think I could really romp.
I think you, you would show them. You'd show them all. Vuvuzela. Yeah.
Let's play a little music while we're.
I don't actually remember what the Vuvuzela sounds like. Okay, yeah. Let's do an ad to music.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a Ranchera music app.
Okay.
It has all the Ranchera radio stations all over Mexico. I don't know. Cantina y Despejo. Tropical songs. Let's play a little bit of those while I tell everybody about music. There we go. Prospero.com. Prosper.com actually is a brilliant idea. It's a peer-to-peer lending marketplace. This is Silicon Valley's answers to big banks and bad loans. With Prosper. Okay, we could stop with the Ranchera. That's a little overdramatic.
With
Prosper, how would you do if you knew you'd get 72 hours, you'd get $35,000 in cash to cover your needs to pay off those high interest rate credit cards, to start a business, maybe do a home improvement project? Prosper makes it easy. Just visit the Prosper website, fill in a few basic details, and you'll get a online rate almost instantly, and it will not affect your credit score. And I do like that.
Because I'm always worried about that stuff.
You need not worry.
You know, you always hear that your credit score goes down every time you check.
No, well, I can tell you won't hear. Okay,
oh, good. That's good.
Would you like to pay off those high rate? You should pay off those high rate credit cards. So here's the deal: low fixed rates. These are unsecured personal loans, so you don't have to have any collateral. It's a multi-year terms are available. We could buy a new brick house studio. Just update the brick house. Maybe we could, I don't know, get you some new microphones and lights and things. I don't know. There's so many things we could do with this.
You know, I'm actually going to use Prosper because
good.
I've got a credit card that I've, you know, it's kind of, I'm
look
having
at the
a
interest
hard
rates.
Time
look at the
getting,
interest rates.
Getting down to a reasonable level because
they're like 20%.
The interest alone each month is, you know, I'm almost.
You're not paying off the principal.
Well, not fast enough.
Go to Prosper. There are more than 2 million people now, lenders and borrowers alike at Prosper.com. And they have now funded, they crossed the magic threshold, more than $1 billion in loans. This is really a revolution in the way loans work. No outrageous fees, no rising interest rates. And no, you don't have to put on a necktie and go in a bank and beg them. Just visit Prosper.com/twit and get your rate. For a limited time, Prosper's offering Twit viewers a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. So visit prosper.com/twit. That's a special site just for our viewers. And get up to $35,000 in just 3 days. Plus that Amazon gift card. Prosper's not affiliated with Amazon. For gift card details, visit prosper.com/twit. And we thank them for their support of IPT.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. I mean, just chips and salsa,
I love
anybody?
This kind of music.
Little chips and salsa.
This is not mariachi. This is ranchera, which is another kind.
I don't really know the difference. I know that there are different.
Are you going to have a perrito?
I'm going to have a perrito.
That's a cat in a sweater.
And that is what they call a perrito. See, you audio listeners.
You're missing the burritos.
We love you, but, like, there's no way to describe the burrito. You must see it. You must con los
I thought you studied
ojos.
This. I'm only on the beginning. I don't know those words.
No, ver, to see. To see, to believe is creare, ver.
Veni, vidi, vici. I came, I saw, I conquered.
Yes. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, so, you know, Google Docs has come to the iPad, and you might be saying, what?
Wait a minute. I was just loading Google Drive. Is that the same?
Google Docs is already on the iPad.
Yeah.
Well, no, but Google Drive is. But Google Docs and Google Sheets, which is the documents and then the spreadsheets, specifically that a lot of people use Google Drive for, are now their own standalone apps.
It's a different download.
Exactly. It's its own standalone app because Google Drive can also be backups for a variety of other images and
it's storage as much as it is docs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at this is I've got a few different Gmail accounts, but this is
that looks just like Google Drive.
Yeah, but this is Docs specifically.
Just Docs. Just
so, you know,
docs.
I've got a lot of, you know, scripts in here. We've got some sponsor stuff. This is all kind of Twit-based because this is the account that I'm looking through. But I can see, you know, here are my docs. I'm signed in with my Gmail account. I can change those. I can go to Google Drive. I can manage documents that are on this specific device.
Do you recommend downloading this? Is this worth if I already because I already have Drive?
Well, here's the reason I think it can be worth it is if you say, yeah, I've got Google Drive because I like to use Google Docs.
Right.
Well, then you might just want the Google Docs app. It just makes it that much less confusing because maybe you're like, I never ever use spreadsheets or I don't really ever use Google Docs because I've got, let's say, Word, Microsoft Office for iPad, which is now something that's available. But I do like spreadsheets, and that's where Google Sheets come in, which are, where are you?
I feel like this is an unnecessary program. Like,
why?
I have all this functionality with Drive, right?
Yeah.
It's everything Drive is unless.
Well, it's
I feel like this is just Google saying we just want more real estate. We'd like another icon on your iPad because I don't know how it's different.
Well, Google Drive is a little. I'm going to go to Google Drive right now. Thanks for using Google Drive. Yes, I agree. Blah blah blah. That's fine.
This is another thing. Well, I thought I had to re-log into my Google Drive because of this.
Well,
update.
You're insane. See, the thing with Google Drive.
Thank you.
It
looks exactly the same.
Yeah. Well, but Drive is again a lot of other stuff.
Right.
And if I'm just looking through Docs or spreadsheets. It's just that much more specific. And maybe you're right. Maybe it is Google just saying we're going to give people that many more opportunities to use Google products. But I don't have a problem with that. It's fine with me.
Yeah. No, I guess so.
Yeah.
It's good to know about. I'm just not sure. There's no additional functionality then, really.
Now, Web3699 says it's getting bad reviews in the App Store. I haven't looked at those bad reviews.
That's just people like me going, well, what's the point?
I've spent a little time in both apps, and the apps are perfectly fine.
It's just this, I wonder if there's even much different code in there. If it's just like, okay, we're going to take off this, and we're going to slap a label on here, and we're going to make another icon, and now you have
two.
Well,
this is certainly a tough crowd. I thought that you'd say, hey, how
cool. No,
because
I use Drive. Yeah. Oh, okay. So here's something Dreamscapes is telling me in the chat room. They've taken editing out of Drive. So if you want to edit, you have to use Docs.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
But that's also very artificial.
So Drive is now what? Just like a read-only type of a situation?
Yeah, they just made that up, so you'd have to download Docs.
But it's free, so it's not anything bad is happening to you. Sometimes you don't want to understand what Google's doing. You just go with it.
I just don't like it when companies do something that is just for no reason to benefit you, but just because they want to do it. It's like, well, what's in it for me, kids?
Well, I think they're sectioning out their products. Google Docs and Google Sheets are two different products, even though
a lot of us
have always thought of this as all one big Google Drive thing.
Maybe in time the difference will become clear.
You're right.
But for now, if you want to edit, you can no longer do that in Drive. They've taken that out, and you have to get Docs.
It makes it that much less of a reason for me to use the Google Drive app, which is actually a pretty nice app. But again, it's kind of a It's an everything type of a repository. Speaking of Office for iPad, Office for iPad now officially includes printing. If you have an AirPrint printer,
right,
that's compatible.
It'll
that's
print.
That's a thing.
As Microsoft pointed out, they said, "Hey, look, the iPad didn't print for a long time either. Don't expect us to print right out of the box." But now they did. Well, a month or two later, they could print, so that's nice.
Yeah, I think that came out. I think on May 1st. It was last week at some point. So it's nothing too exciting, but it is official. Also, we mentioned at the top of the show that Apple was on a medical tech hiring spree of sorts. This is actually a story that Reuters published this morning. That you know, it really starts to seem like this has to do with the still mythical iWatch plan and the fact that we've got a health book app that is upcoming, supposedly going to be part of iOS 8, which we might hear more about at WWDC. The company is hiring a variety of people who are in the medical tech field.
It feels like they've been hiring for years. I'm just waiting for them to release something.
Yeah, no kidding.
What are they going to release?
Also, hasn't Apple, I think it was a statistic, like they've acquired 24 companies in the last 18 months.
Yeah, like crazy.
And it's like, this is obviously going somewhere. I really hope it's like a cool new wearable. But then we hear rumors that, you know, we're not going to see a new wearable necessarily. Certainly not. It's not going to be shown off on stage on June 2nd, I believe, is when WWDC kicks off. It runs through the week. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is exactly what we talked about a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that this
we're
is...
We're waiting.
This is a show about iPads, but...
Well, a watch would probably tie to an iPad.
Yeah, it would tie to iOS, one would think. Yeah. So this could be something that's like a really cool companion piece. I'm excited about that. I want my iPad to be that much more interesting.
I wouldn't rush to judgment on this. Remember that we also think that iOS 8 is going to have this health book, like
right.
the passbook, and we'll keep track of all this health stuff. So these medical people may not be for a watch. They may be just to support a health book. It may be that Apple, yes, is pushing into medical, but the way health book works is you can have other devices, a variety of them, including blood pressure cuffs and all sorts of stuff, that would then tie into health book. At least that's what we think. That's also not out yet. That'll be out with iOS 8.
It's such an interesting... I think it's very smart if Apple can do this. And clearly they want people to work for the company that have a lot of experience in this arena, but... To get really deep into the medical field, it's just sort of strange. I wouldn't, 2 years ago, nobody thought that that's what was happening. But this whole wearable, track your fitness, figure out more about your health has gotten so big. All these companies are trying to figure it out, Apple included. We got an Ask Leo question from Ben in Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, Ben. Who says, I was wondering if you could answer this for me. How come if I'm watching a podcast like iPad Today or The Tech Guy, for example, if I start watching first on my iPad and then switch to the iPhone, it's a few minutes behind? Shouldn't you be able to carry on from the last time you stopped? Am I missing something? Well, I think it really depends on what you're using to watch these podcasts.
He's saying he's watching live?
He's watching the podcast, and he's.
And
saying,
I'm amazed it even picks up anywhere close to where you picked up. If it's on a different device, how would it even know?
Well,
maybe this is the Apple Podcast app.
I don't know. He doesn't say. If it was the official podcast app, it shouldn't be a few minutes behind. It should be exactly. It should be synced because you're using your iCloud account.
I don't understand what you're getting at all. It should either be right where it is or not at all. It should start at the beginning.
Right. Yeah, depending on if it syncs. Like, I mean, if you're using something like Downcast.
So some apps do sync.
Yeah.
But they should sync exactly. I'm not sure why there'd be a difference.
Unless, I don't know, Ben.
You know what? He didn't say what app he's using, did he?
He didn't. That's...
So it must be something of that app.
Ben, are you out there? Ben writes in a lot, so maybe he's in the chat room.
What's the story, Ben?
What's the story, Omaha man?
Yeah. If you're watching live, that is different. And that because we have four or five streams. You have Ustream, Justin TV, BitGravity, FlowSoft. Those are the four providers that give us streaming video. And you can watch any of those four. They're all at a different part in the show. I bet you that's what's happening. He's talking about watching live, not downloads. Because they all encode... Yeah, see? So there's a little difference in time in encoding. That's BitGravity. And then if you're watching Ustream, click BitGravity. Just see where they are. So we're watching the live stream. Oh, you can't do it. You probably have to do it from live.twit.tv. Oh, this is all, it's a mess. Now it's going to be Inception.
That got weird.
Go video of the video, watching the video.
It was a loopy loop.
While it watches the video.
Loop de loop.
But that's because each of them, what happens is we send them all at the same time where we are, but each of them then transcodes the content in different ways. Some of them, at last check, Brian, do you know off the top of your head? It seems like Ustream was the slowest, might be the most delayed.
Yeah, I think that was the case.
Yeah, and then, but it changes, and they use different technologies.
Which is why we have all these options.
Yeah. So
you just find the one you like best.
Okay,
Ben.
So now Justin is pretty close to right on.
Yeah, I think Justin was the closest.
Yeah, and Bitgravity is probably somewhere in between. So there's a few seconds.
It's hard to show.
And then
that
there's
off.
Your system too.
Right.
I mean, there's other things as well. So. I think the problem is your model for what you're doing when you're watching us live is television, and this doesn't work the same way at all. A television, it's basically the speed of light. There maybe is a little bit of encoding differential, but not much. When you're watching video or anything over the internet, there's a lot of things in between you and the original video. There's encoding. We have to compress it. It may be done several times. There's the amount of time it takes to get to the provider. And then there's the amount of time the provider takes to get to your provider, and then the amount of time the data gets to you, and then your playback mechanism. Remember, you're playing it back on a computer, even if you're using a mobile device, and so a fast computer is going to do it better than a slow computer. So there's all these things in between. So we don't ever think of what we do live streaming as exactly live. We just figure it's within a minute or two.
Right.
That's probably what he's talking about.
Okay. Well, Ben, hopefully that helped. If you're watching... any of these as podcasts, let's say using the podcast app or another app where it would sync between devices, it really shouldn't be an issue. It should pick up where you left off.
Here, Jeff in our chat room has one scenario it could. It wouldn't happen consistently like this. But let's say you're listening along on podcasts, and you're walking down the street and you lost connection with your provider. Now, the podcast is going to keep playing because you have it locally. But the place you're at won't be synchronized until you have another connection. So if you then stop listening, you'll pick up where it last had a connection because that's the last place it knows you were.
That's a possibility.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's happening to Ben all the time. So I don't know, Ben. Hopefully we helped you with the limited understanding of what the actual issue was.
It's complicated.
It is complicated.
What we're doing, you shouldn't be able to do.
You know what else is complicated?
What's that?
This video that I mentioned we were going to talk about Carnegie Mellon again. So Gabe sent in this video, which, Brian, if you want to play it, it's on that URL that I sent to you. Down the page a little bit.
Now, iPad skeuomorphism.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, so here's what's going on. Human Interfaces Group at Carnegie Mellon, which was led by the group's director. His name is Chris Harrison, who's an assistant professor of human-computer interaction. Have done a bunch of work that shows how traditional hand movements, using a drill tool,
or
cutting
scissors
or hammer or that sort of thing, that's all, that's that kind of skeuomorphic way of life that computers have never really gotten much of a hold of. We're used to swiping and clicking and tapping. But the researchers are like, what we as humans really want, though? We want to have gestures that more closely mirror how we actually use tools in real life. So,
no, I don't want that.
Why not? You don't think that that's cool?
It's cool, but it's not efficient. So, and this is a big debate. In fact, this was why Scott Forstall and others at Apple really wanted skeuomorphism.
Yeah.
It certainly makes it more intuitive. You look at a page, and when you turn the page curl, which Steve Jobs was a big fan of, goes down, and you go, oh, I get it. It's like an actual page. But you know what? It's not. It's a digital thing.
And I think this is kind of
forcing
fun.
Digital things to act like the real world really kind of limits their ability. Right. I mean, is that a good way to hold a magnifying glass or to use a measuring tape? And then that actually might work. Use a measuring tape on the screen. That might work. But I think you have to be very cognizant of the fact that you're in different medium, a digital medium. And you should use what works best in a digital medium.
I kind of like this. I don't know.
It's cool.
Like, these are all tools that we don't have.
It's an interesting video.
Is tools, by the way, and this is it's just research.
For those of you listening, though, here's an example. You want to magnify the text on the screen.
Yeah.
You pick up a virtual digital magnifying glass with your virtual digital hand, and then you hold it over the screen.
It's sort of like Photoshop for everything.
It's too much work.
Too much work.
Just, I want, you know, one here would be a better metaphor. You press and hold the point you want to magnify on the screen. You hold it 3 seconds. It goes boing, zips out. You can move around. And then when you're done, you let go. That has no relationship to the real world. But it, yeah. I mean, pinch and zoom has no relationship to the real world either. And it's the most efficient way of doing it. I think you'd get used to it. There are a few things that worked well. The measuring tape, I thought, was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought this was cool.
The camera thing,
Gabe, I'm with you. I thought that this was kind of cool. Thanks for sending it along, because I wouldn't have seen this article.
Well, it's definitely cool, but I do not want to see a mouse on my iPad screen in any form.
No. Well, I don't really want a mouse ever.
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
That's like computers 1.0.
That's what we've moved ahead.
We have moved ahead. Yeah, so Carnegie Mellon, why don't you get with the times?
Well, it's interesting.
What a waste of research. No, I'm just kidding. Again, that's called touch tools. It's interesting what can be applied to a digital screen.
Right.
You know, even just to say you did it.
I think it's good to think about this stuff.
Yeah, and then you can figure out, well, does this actually make sense, or are we making it more complicated?
Here's the test. Will a 3-year-old figure it out? Now, the reason those skeuomorphic things work is because we're older,
right,
and we've lived in the physical world.
We need reminders of what analog.
Oh, it's a folder. Yeah. I had a folder. Imagine, here's an example.
It like a...
What if the first iPhone had a dial that you went... Well, that would look just like the real... I would know how to use that. But is it the best way? No.
No. Right. Because rotary phones are silly. God, you remember that? Rotary phones.
Rotary phones.
Yeah.
I think we are a little... And I think Apple's a little stuck in that world.
Those are cool now.
The keyboard, for example... They make it look like a typewriter keyboard. It seems like there might... That's why I like Swipe, for instance, which a number of both Windows Phone and Android have the ability, instead of tapping keys, to trace from key to key. And
right,
it's a much faster, easier way to spell. And that's, in my estimation, a way of thinking outside the box and saying, well, it doesn't have to be exactly like a typewriter.
Right, yeah.
It could be a little different.
Yeah, typewriter. I mean, who died and made typewriter king forever? I mean, it was fine for a while, but we've got some other choices now,
right,
don't we? Yeah, I agree with you. At some point, we're probably going to hopefully see some options with native keyboards in iOS.
It's important
right now,
to think.
There's not much you can do with
it's
those.
It's important to think about this. Try it with a 3-year-old.
Yep. Can a 3-year-old figure it out? And chances are they can. We love hearing from you.
He's going to show that video on how to dial a phone.
Now, I was going to say, this has been a problem for years.
Why did they need a video?
You can dial.
I guess that was not intuitive.
It was new technology.
Oh,
my
gosh.
We needed a video on how to figure it out.
Here she is.
Oh, my gosh.
I worked with her, you know, at Channel 4, Suzanne Shaw.
That's not Suzanne Shaw.
You worked with her, too.
I did, yeah. It was Suzanne Saunders, and then she became Suzanne Shaw.
Right. That's her.
Later on. It isn't.
Yeah. She's older than dirt.
She was even alive.
She's been around for 100 years.
Difference. I think this
that
is
woman
Susan.
Has a painting in the basement Suzanne. Or the attic or something.
I love how they're explaining how phones work.
Write down the number first.
It wasn't intuitive back then.
No.
Well, it isn't.
They didn't
stick
know.
Your finger in a hole and spin it?
I mean, look how big phones were back then.
There's all these, like... my mom was telling me there's all these like funny things in the olden days where phone numbers weren't 7 numbers. They were like, because you didn't need 7 yet.
You only needed 4.
Yeah, it was like 4 or 5. And then like everybody on a block had like the same number, and it would ring differently if it was meant for you.
It's called a party line.
Yeah, but you could listen.
Yeah, that's
and that
right.
That's a little problematic,
right? That's
right. You know, you've got
I remember when I was a little kid, I got lost in the woods.
Okay.
Oh, there's more.
Okay.
And my sister and I wandered, and we finally found a house, a little house in the woods, and we thought, oh, God, we're saved. We came in, and the lady was there. Yeah, she was watching TV. Yeah, what do you want? We're lost. Can we call our mommy and daddy and have them come get us? Yeah, sure. Call 4321. And I said, what? I never had heard of a 4-digit phone number, but apparently... Back in the woods in those days, that's all they had. They couldn't afford 7 numbers.
Well, who did you call?
I called 4321 and the police answered.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 911 is actually less,
then,
fewer
then
numbers than...
The witch pushed us in the oven.
What? Which
no,
one is that?
No, we pushed her in the oven.
Is that Hansel and Gretel?
Yeah.
The kids go into the... God, I don't remember that was what was happening to them. Because they were made into gingerbread kids? Wait.
She wanted to bake them.
Is that... Am I getting that right, or am I making that up?
You know
the
who would know?
Did the kids turn into gingerbread kids?
You know who would know?
What?
My son is taking a college course in Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Stop it. That's like taking a Tupac class at Berkeley, which apparently is also a class.
That's what he thought. He said, no, it's actually hard. I got to write a lot of papers.
Oh, like what is the symbolism
type
thing?
Yes, exactly.
It's never as fun as you think it's going to be. That was like when I took all my rock and roll classes in college. And it was like music theory, and it was really hard. And I had to understand what 4/3 were and the 4/4s. And I just was like, all I want to do is listen to the Beatles.
Yeah, I just
this
thought
is
we were
harder
listening
than
to
I
music.
Thought it was going to be. I just want to pass. We love hearing from you. iPadToday at twit.tv is how you can write us, send us cool articles, send us apps that you'd like us to cover. We try to do
fairy
as much
tales
as possible.
You enjoy.
Fairy tales that you'd like Leo to dramatically reenact.
Little Golden
Put
Riding
in little,
Hood.
Little what?
Well. Little Red Riding Hood's taken.
Ah.
Trademarked.
Oh.
We have to be Little Golden Riding Hood.
Okay.
That's my Audible book. Did you know that?
You can call her Little Rouge Riding Hood.
Little Rouge Riding Hood.
Little Rojo Riding Hood.
You know, our show today
what?
Is brought to you by a company that wants your old gadgets. Who would have thunk it? Thank goodness somebody wants these things. They've been gathering dust in the drawer, the closet,
yeah,
the
you're
basement.
Not doing anything with them.
You're not doing anything with it. You could give it, I guess, to your niece or your nephew. But wouldn't you rather have some cold, hard cash? That's why Gazelle, it wants you to visit gazelle.com. They will give you cash, even for a broken iPad or a broken iPhone. Yes, it's worth some money. Your Samsung, your HTC, your BlackBerry, your Surface tablet, your Samsung tablet, your Nexus tablet. These guys are so great. Just visit gazelle.com. Now, here's the deal. The quote they're going to give you today is locked in for the next 30 days. So you don't have to act on it for 30 days. So might as well get a quote on everything. Because I can tell you one thing. Nothing's getting worth more. It's all going to be worth less in 30 days. So get the value now because these things just depreciate fast. And lock it in. And then when you get the new phone or the new tablet or the new device, you have time to move your data over. Make sure you like it, and then pull the trigger. Gazelle will send you a prepaid box. You pile all the gadgets in there. You don't pay the shipping. They'll turn it around fast, wipe your data if you forget to, and send you a check or a PayPal credit or an Amazon gift card. And by the way, the Amazon gift card, they bump it up by 5%, which is awfully nice. Thinking of getting that new HTC One? I love that. Have the old HTC One? They'll buy it. 9 out of every 10 Gazelle customers rates their experience excellent or better. 1.5 million trade-ins. Over 700,000 customers have been paid $100 million to date. This is a great service, and I want you to try it. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Do yourself a favor. Just get the value at gazelle.com.
That's all I really know.
Guadalajara.
Oaxaca, Cozumel. Cancun. Puerto Vallarta.
Little ranchera music because it's Cinco de Mayo.
Cabo San Lucas.
It's time for our app caps. We wear funny hats, so you don't have to, ladies and gentlemen. And Sarah and I have picked two fabulous. See, I love this to me.
La 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 li da da ripa.
I always ask the mariachi band to play this and Guadalajara, and I give them $5.
I know Guadalajara as a city. I didn't know
it's
that
a city
it's
and a
song.
Song.
I don't know that one. Maybe
city
I do.
City and a song.
Maybe if I heard it, I would know it. But I know this one. We learned this in school.
Yeah, De Colores.
Yeah, it's all the
wonderful
kids sing that.
I feel like it's some the other one I like, which is not Mexican, so but I love it.
It's
Jingle Bells. No. It's
Can't Stop Falling in Love by Elvis.
No. Guantanamera. I
love
that.
A good
and they'll
one
play that. The mariachi bands, they'll go, well, you know, that's Bolivar, but okay, we'll play it for you. And I love. Did you see Chad just walk by? I thought I saw something red out of the corner of my eye.
That's
there.
A Chad. Wild,
anyway,
a wild Chad.
Your app cap of the week.
My app cap of the week, I think that you're actually going to be excited about it because I know how you like Cook's Quarterly. Is it quarterly?
Yes.
Quarterly?
Well, no, it's monthly.
Cooks Monthly. Yep. It's a cooking magazine, yeah. But it's
we talk about, I talk about
yeah,
it all the time.
Kind of high.
It.
It's more about highbrow, a little bit more
yes,
about
wait
context.
A minute.
What?
No.
What?
I'll give you an example. Bran muffins.
Your mic is very.
You know what they make bran muffins out of in Cork's Quarterly?
Bran.
They tried all of the things and they said you can't get bran. This makes my head look very strange. Am I bald? You can't get bran. This is what I would look like if I were bald. You can't get bran in most stores, so they say use Kellogg's All Bran. Now, I thought, wow, that's... But you know what? It's quite good.
Well, no, I'm not saying that all of the recipes are
highbrow.
Highbrow.
It's just say, how to best get what you're looking for.
Okay. Well, I think that you know, there's a lot of context that's part of cooks. There's sometimes kind of stories. They do a lot of testing. So it comes across to me as professional, much more professional.
It is. It's for somebody who loves to cook. And is
yeah,
very serious.
Yeah. About, so yeah. That's kind of what I meant. But yeah. Cooks now has a new recipe app called Cooks All Time Best Recipes.
Oh.
Now.
How did I miss this?
Well, it's brand new.
I have three or four of their cookbooks. You know, I love their stuff.
Besides the fact that it.
See, macaroni cheese. That's not highbrow, but it's the greatest macaroni.
Yeah.
But it's the best macaroni cheese.
What's neat, though, about this is like, okay, yeah, so here's the recipe. Classic macaroni cheese. Of course, I go to this because that's, you know,
look at all
basically
our,
all I think about. But. There's a story behind how they and look
exactly.
Watch it. At first
oh, it
you're
gets
like,
colorful.
Hey, it's black and white. No,
oh.
It's in color.
Oh, look at that! It's pretty.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun little effect. Mm. But there's a whole story behind what. Yeah, and you've actually because I know you know how to make mac and cheese. But
bechamel. See, I told you.
You're right. But the testers have basically Secrets. Said so. Here are. A variety of things that we tried that made macaroni and cheese not ideal.
That's what Cooks Illustrated does. They try a bunch of different ways of cooking a turkey or making mac and
cheese. And they tell you.
And they say, this is why this one works.
Here's what you don't want to do because we already did it, so you don't have to.
Yep.
You don't want anything that's curdled and clumpy. You definitely don't want oily and separated.
No.
And, you know, it goes on and on. And then, of course, why, you know, macaroni and cheese.
Why
ends
two
up,
cheeses are better than one.
Exactly. Because, you know, of course, you get more of a rich flavor and variety. But this is best recipes.
Oh,
now,
I'm buying this.
Yeah,
how much is it? It's expensive.
It is $10.
Oh, that's cheaper than a cookbook.
And there's 80 recipes in here.
Ooh, that's not very much.
Well, I mean, I feel like, and here they all are, by the way. I mean, there's more than this, but these are, you know, some of the ones that are
all
right up the top.
Best.
But you got,
see, I
any,
have
you got blueberry muffins here.
So they have an all-time best recipe cookbook, which was like $50. So this is doesn't have as many recipes. Ooh, Mike muffins with a blueberry flavor.
Yeah. Add jam to the batter. Hey.
Clever.
Oh, my God, that sounds so good. I'm so hungry.
I made bran muffins this morning.
Did you?
With raisins.
You
but
actually
I think,
made bran muffins.
Yeah.
I got some video here, too.
We
not for every single recipe, but for some of them.
See, I don't use their all bran, because I could find bran at Whole Foods. Oh, look at that. Blueberries there.
I'm into it.
Turn it all the way up.
I love it. We don't
oh, they're caramelized. Oh, they're going to melt. Oh, look at that. They're making a blueberry slurp.
Did you know, this is a little trivia that I learned over the weekend,
yeah.
That caramelized does not refer to like caramelizing something. It's the man's last name. Who
his name was Carmel?
That was his last name.
Billy Carmel?
Well, I don't think it was Billy. But
Bobby?
It was something Carmel, but he was like the one who invented the technique. And that's why we say caramelized.
Did
and you know what?
Somebody
told me this at a Kentucky Derby party, so maybe they were pulling my leg. But I think it's true.
Fernando Julep invented the mint julep. Did you know that?
No. But I think that today is a great day to celebrate you, Fernando. Fernando, do you want to make the perfect chocolate chip cookie? Yes, I do.
It's a good recipe. I've made that one.
Exactly.
That's a good recipe.
That's what I want.
And one of the things they talk about
is
how it turns out you cook it at a lower temperature, not a higher temperature.
Really?
They explain the whole science.
Oh, because they get it all chewy. And
yeah,
you
because
know,
you want it
chocolate.
Crispy on the outside and chewy on the inside, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's
I
exactly
know you do.
Right. Yeah. Now, here are a variety of...
It's hard to take me seriously, isn't it?
I don't actually want to make eye contact with you because you look so silly right now. You want to make barbecued pulled pork at home? What about a flavorful poached salmon? You know, salmon can be a little meh when you poach it. So, yeah, this is actually something that's... I would like it to be in my wheelhouse. Eggplant parmesan that's lighter and quicker.
You live in the wheelhouse or you cook there?
I live in a wheel.
Mm.
It's my house. And that's where I cook chicken enchiladas and so on. Now, earlier in the show, we were talking about bad reviews in the App Store. I did notice, and this is a brand new app, so there are only a few reviews.
Yeah.
there were some people saying, you know what, this kind of sucks, though, because it's never going to update. It's basically just cooks saying, here's our all-star recipes and that sort of it. But I feel like, okay, I mean, how many recipes are you really going through on a weekly basis? For me, it's like, I don't know, 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Give me 80 recipes of stuff that's tried and true, and it's absolutely going to be a hit.
Yeah.
And that's $10.
Yeah.
That's worth $10 to me.
$10 is not bad. I mean, like I said, I have the cookbook that they have of all of their best recipes.
Yeah.
And it's much more expensive. On the other hand, I have them all.
Right.
And so I cook sometimes with the iPad, and I cook sometimes with the cookbook, and I find it a little bit easier, especially if you have a cookbook stand, to use a cookbook. The iPad... You know what's bad? It goes dark. You're halfway through the recipe,
you know,
and you have to unlock it.
Some cookbook apps, though...
Stay on?
They have a toggle where it'll say, never actually go to sleep.
Yeah, I need that.
When the app is open. Yeah. How to Cook Everything is one of those.
Mark Bittman. Love
yes,
him.
Yes, Mark Bittman. Anyway, this is... It's like the name says, cooks all-time best recipes. If you want that, it's $10 in the App Store. Of course, we'll have the link in our show notes as well.
This hat seems to have cost me about 30 IQ points.
Do you feel stupid?
I look like a giant baby.
Well, now you really do. You have such a narrow shoulder width, Leo. Mm-hmm. You're very delicate. You are. Yeah, you're just a delicate little dude.
So my app... Remember Hitman, the game Hitman, where you play a hitman?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is called Hitman Go because it's the mobile version. Just
Hitman
came out.
Go. Oh, okay.
$4.99. Right. Now, this is not what you think. This is not a shoot-em-up game. This is not, Call of Duty or anything like that. Or Thief, the game where you snuck around. Hitman Go is a puzzle game of all things. But it's really kind of interesting, kind of fun. I was asking before the show for some tips, some recommendations, and I think Marmot in our chat room said, hey, I love Hitman Go. And so I've been playing it, and it's kind of fun. Was this a board game originally? It must have been. Now, there are in-app purchases. In fact, let me go back here. You'll see that there are different Hitman Go packs. There's Hitman Go. If you get a certain point, you get more packs, and then they're going to have more down the road. But... this is what you get for free. So we're going to play. Now, I played the first few levels. So it starts as a tutorial, but let's go to level 6. It starts to get a little bit harder here. The idea is you're a hitman, and you've got to sneak around and either get to the exit or get to your target. And in this case, I'm trying to get to this exit here. But there's a problem. There are these people around, and if they spy you, that is, if you get to a square right next to them and they're looking at you, they will clobber you. So you can't just walk up, and I'll show you what it would look like if I just walked up to somebody, and you'll see what the problem is. I'm going to walk right. Oh, I guess I have to throw something. What? And I'll walk right in front of him, and it'll go boom, and he knocks me over. So it's kind of like a board game, right? So what I'm going to do, then we're in a level where I can distract them by throwing stones. So let's distract this guy. It's a puzzle game, and it's kind of challenging. Now I throw a stone. Now, only he noticed it. Now, watch what happens. I'm going to throw another stone. When he... See, they notice it, and they go towards it. So I'm getting around the watchers. You see what I'm doing? Now, I could knock him out, but I don't need to. Oh, I have a problem here. Rats. He got me. So the idea is we've got to get... It's a puzzle. We got to get around. What if I throw it there? Those guys are going to go that way. Okay, that's good.
It's almost like chess in a way.
Yeah, you have to think ahead, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit challenging, I have to admit. Now I'm going to try this. Okay, that's going to affect him. Now, I'm not going to be able to get by this guy. Oh, so this is really challenging. Hitman Go. It's a puzzle game, a turn-based puzzle game. It's kind of odd-looking, but yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And I could tell you it's challenging. I'm kind of stuck right here on this one. This is a tough level. But I'm gonna continue to work at it. $4.99. And thank you, Marmot, for your tip. That's a good one. I think maybe if I go here... And, of course, as you get to more levels, there'll be more possibilities here. But if I go here...
I want you to get past it.
I gotta get this guy. Yeah, this is challenging. Because I want to get... he can see me, but then he can see me. I need to get here. I could throw it there. Now that's going to move him down. Oh, but no, that's not going to work because now this guy's going to come up and he'll see me when I get there. So I've blown it. It's kind of like, you know, Cut the Rope or any of these games where you can reset at Angry Birds where you reset it after you try something and you realize that didn't work. If I throw it there, that's not going to work. Now I can knock them both off. Ha ha! Maybe I did find something. But I've got to distract this guy. Let's go back down here and throw that there. Now, no, see, I'm going to have the same problem. Because watch, that guy's going to come up, and now he's going to get me if I go over here. Anyway, get the idea?
Sort of.
Does it puzzle you?
Yes, it puzzles me very much, but that's kind of the fun of it. What's nice about it is that you can keep trying.
Yes.
So it's not like, there's not like that like time thing that, you know, is, Hitman Go. Go all in uppercase. Hitman
Go!
Go! From SquareEnix.com. Well, Leo, we've come to the end of a fine, fabulous show. I felt very festive. It is Cinco de Mayo here as we record this live on Monday. We usually start the show somewhere a little after noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Jose the cat.
Jose. El gato.
El gato Jose.
El gatito. Oh, there's Jose. I was like, okay.
Where?
Jose,
you don't know
cat.
Because he snuck up on you. There he is with his sousa.
Jose. Little gatito. He looks like he's having a good time. He's got, you know, it's not going to end well for old Jose Cuervo. You think Jose Cuervo was a real person?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note.
The same guy, he invented caramel, I believe.
That's different. That's Jose Caramel. Not the same thing as Jose Cuervo. Two different men.
Did you know that Cuervo was named after Jose Cuervo?
I don't know which came first.
The chicken or the tequila?
Thanks, everybody, for watching this episode of iPad Today. We will be back next week. We've got some weeks before Memorial Day that we're taking off. So
it's really counting on Memorial Day to save her. But you got another 3 weeks, kid.
That people get so mad when we take the day off, and I just want to make sure that we tell you ahead of time that Memorial Day, we will not be doing an episode of iPad Today, but don't worry about that. You got a few more episodes left. Thanks, everybody, for watching. See you next week on iPad Today.
Ow. Ow.